Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw. I'm known as the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, thewebalchemist.net, empoweredmanifestation.com, Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw the Success Alchemist, Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw, True Social, Success Alchemist, and Telegram, US UK Patriot. Today is the 1st of October 2022, and the title of today's show is Nord Stream 2, Russia Annexes East Ukraine Regions, Vaccine Narrative Falls Apart. And just before I start the show, I'd just like to say that my prayers go out to everyone affected by Hurricane Ian, and I really hope that you are going to quickly recover from the devastation that has been caused. So the first thing I want to cover is a very good analysis of the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. And this is from Gateway Pundit. It's actually a guest post by Bill Hennessy. And X22 actually reported on this, and this is what drew my attention to it. Analysis: Nord Stream pipeline sabotaged and only one country benefits. And I think it's really important to look at this because, you know, the mainstream media is pushing the idea that Russia sabotaged their own pipeline, which just doesn't make sense at all. But they want to create World War III. And there's all this fear-mongering going on and posturing by the likes of Biden and even the EU. So let's see what Bill Hennessy has to say about this. Three deep water explosions destroyed the Nord Stream pipelines under the Baltic Sea on Monday. While the MSM and governments reported leaks in the pipelines following sudden pressure drops to zero, Swedish seismologists knew better. One of the three explosions measures 2.3 on the Richter scale of earthquake intensity, but this was no earthquake. It was explosion, like a gigantic undersea mine. Via Reuters, Bjorn Lundt, a seismologist at the Swedish National Seismic Network at Uppsala University, said seismic data gathered by him and Nordic colleagues showed that the explosions took place in the water and not in the rock under the seabed. The explosions guarantee Germany and the EU won't go wobbly with regard to sanctions against Russian energy imports. The damage to pipelines will take months to repair, and repairs are unlikely to begin until next summer. Even if Germany were to cry uncle, in quotes, as civil unrest intensifies over lack of heat and energy, even if Russia decided to turn the power back on, the conduit for Russian gas to Europe is broken. TASS reports details of the explosions. The first explosion was recorded at about 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday, the second at 07:04 p.m. on the same day. Gas leak warnings were issued on Monday at 1:52 p.m. and 8:41 p.m. respectively. Vessels passing through the area reportedly notified the Coast Guard of the seething on the sea surface. Lundt argues that there are usually no military exercises in the area of the incident, which could theoretically cause damage to the pipelines. No military exercises in the area on Monday, but there were military exercises in the area recently enough. We will look into those exercises in a bit. So Nord Stream is dead, and the question becomes, who done it? means, motive, and opportunity. To fix a crime on a suspect, police try to establish means, motive, and opportunity. If the victim was shot in his home with no signs of forced entry or struggle, the suspects will be people known to the victim who had access to the murder weapon and reason to kill him. Take away any one element, means, gun, motive, gain, or opportunity, access, and the case falls apart. If we bounce all three elements against the reasonable suspects, one suspect stands out. Means eliminates most suspects. Only a government with an advanced naval warfare capability could have executed the sabotage. That limits the suspects to Germany, Britain, France, the United States, Russia, and China. But means also involves proximity. Chinese or French naval activities in the area would have raised flags. Geography would seem to preclude the United States, except for the fact the US Navy operates in every ocean in the world with advanced warfighting capabilities. So the list of suspects with the means to destroy Nord Stream is down to the UK, US, Russia, and Germany. And there's a tweet from Chanel Rion from OAN. And just like that, Nord Stream 2 was destroyed. And it includes a tweet, I think, from Radio Genova. Thousands of people in Gera, G-E-R-A, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, in Germany against Olaf Scholz's policy and the explosion of energy and gas prices. They demand an end to sanctions on Russia and the reopening of the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. Demonstrations also in other German cities, but EU media censors them. And so the article continues. So we shift to motive. Germany has no motive to damage its energy lifeline. Germany is highly dependent on Russian natural gas. Entire German industries are being nationalized because of the lack of energy due to sanctions against Russia and Russia reducing flow through the pipelines. Germans held massive protests over the weekend, demanding Germany pull out of the anti-Russian alliance in exchange for a return of energy. Great Britain has also suffered under the sanctions imposed after Russia invaded Ukraine in February. The British economy is in shambles, forcing the UK's central bank to pivot back to quantitative easing. Additionally, the new government in the UK has its hands full with forming a government. It is unlikely the Brits would attempt such a caper. Russia seems to have a motive, inflict long-term pain on Europe for sending lethal arms to Ukraine. But Russia didn't need to blow up the pipelines. Russia controls the valves that send or halt gas flow to Europe, and she's already turned off the spigot. Russia paid for a portion of the pipeline and expects to resume profitable energy exports to Europe once the war with Ukraine settles. Why would Russia cut off its own nose? And another tweet, this time from Jack Posobiec. You see, Russia blew up their own pipeline, but not the Norway-EU pipeline that's right next to it and just opened today. 65D undersea chess. That leaves the United States, so what are its motives? First, the US became the number one exporter of liquefied natural gas to Europe once Russia cut off the flow. German dependence on US LNG is a carrot to keep German in the sanction alliance. That should be Germany, I think. With winter approaching and German unrest on the rise, the State Department would have been concerned the Germans would go wobbly, reduce sanctions, cut off arms to Ukraine, and beg Putin for energy. The loss of the Nord Stream pipelines eliminates that path to renewed gas imports to Germany. Second, the Biden family has long been tangled up in natural gas and Ukraine. Hunter Biden was on the board of Ukraine's largest natural gas company, a position that provided Ukrainian oligarchs with access to Joe Biden. Hunter, who has no experience in energy, made millions from the deal, and Ukraine got a bought and paid for president of the United States. Third, the Democrat Biden needs to staunch the popularity bleeding that threatens to kill Democrat control of Congress come November. So only the United States has a compelling reason to destroy Europe's energy lifeline from Russia. Only the United States has both the means and the motive. But what about the opportunity? Operation Baltops, 22nd of June 2022. Sea Power magazine, the official magazine of the Navy League, reported in June on a US exercise in the Baltic Sea, directly over the spots where two massive undersea explosions took out the Nord Stream pipeline. And there's a tweet from AZ Military One. On Twitter, meanwhile, there were screenshots of other flights of American aviation. The following screenshot was taken on September 13th and continues, and finally, we need to pay attention to the June article, seapowermagazine.org, in Sea Power, where the Americans brag about experiments in the field of underwater drones, which they put on exercises, Baltops 22, just in the area of the island of Bornholm. Sea Power's story highlights new technology allowing the Navy to detonate targets from miles away. An additional critical objective was to continue to increase the communication range and data transfer capability to give the operators more flexibility in mine hunting operations. Advancements in communication technology demonstrated this year have shown a significant improvement in operating ranges over currently used systems. This provides additional standoff flexibility to the US Navy in conducting safe mine hunting operations. In other words, the Navy had the opportunity to plant explosives on the pipes in June for remote detonation at the time of the president's choosing. And the world's largest amphibious ship, the USS Kearsarge, was recently in the area. Again, tweets from AZ Military One. Swedish government to hold emergency meeting on Nord Stream, media report. Danish authorities create security zone in the area of the leak on the Nord Stream gas pipeline. Head of the Danish Energy Agency, Christopher Betzauf. And a second tweet, an expeditionary detachment of US Navy ships led by the Universal Amphibious Assault Ship USS Kearsarge days ago was in the Baltic Sea. It was 30 kilometres from the site of the alleged sabotage on the Nord Stream 1 gas pipeline and 50 kilometres from the threats of Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline. And another tweet from Polska Morska. And it's actually in Dutch, I think, or Danish. Not sure exactly, but I can't read that to you, I'm afraid. And only the United States had this opportunity. Also in June, as Operation Baltops 22 was underway, the CIA allegedly warned Germany that sabotage to the pipelines was imminent. And it's got a screenshot of Spiegelpolitik. CIA warns German government against attack on Baltic Sea pipelines. There are increasing signs of a planned attack on the two Nord Stream gas pipelines. According to Spiegel information, there were already indications of this from the USA in advance. What's more, Biden and other administration officials have signaled a willingness to use the pipelines as a means of war. Joe Biden threatened to end Nord Stream if Russia invaded. And it's got a screenshot from another Gateway Pundit article. Guess who threatened to take the Russian Nord Stream pipelines offline before they were sabotaged this week? That leaves one. Only the United States had all three elements of a crime: means, motive, and opportunity. But possessing all three elements of a crime does not make one guilty. In addition to means, motive, and opportunity, the guilty party must also have the moral degeneracy to perpetrate the crime. Everyone who carries a gun has the means, motive, and opportunity to shoot someone at some point, but almost no legal gun owners ever commit the crime. Why? because most of us have moral consciences formed well enough to stop us from acting on impulse. We are, as Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, willing to suffer many abuses before pulling the trigger. So we must ask, does this United States administration have the impulse control to resist using its massive military capabilities? Or is the administration full of people who would shoot someone over mere irritation? To answer that, think about the FBI storming the home of a pro-life minister, robbing safe deposit boxes after lying to a judge to obtain a warrant, raiding the home of the current president's primary opponent in the next election, or threatening pro-life pregnancy counselors in Minnesota. And Angela Erickson tweeted, FBI agents came to talk to sidewalk counselors outside of the St. Paul Planned Parenthood today. Make no mistake, Biden's administration is actively trying to silence and instill fear into anyone who opposes their death cult. Think also about the administration's push to castrate little boys and cut the breasts off of little girls for the crimes of being too feminine or too masculine. Think about the United States' fascination with drag shows for children, in which a five-year-old girl massages the penis of a drag queen on stage to arouse her parents' prurient interests. As the Gateway pundit reported recently, and it's again a screenshot of an earlier article, Beyond Sick, drag queen dances while little girl repeatedly rubs her hand up and down the crotch of, quote, Little Mermaid costume, while another drag queen spreads legs wide open on stage for toddlers. Is the United States capable of committing a high crime on the Baltic Sea? Of course it is. The United States, under Joe Biden, has no moral compass. It is a rudderless and deranged vessel sailing towards base pleasure, using power and violence as its only justification for actions. While we don't know for sure whether the United States blew up the pipeline, we do know for sure the United States has the means, motive, opportunity, and moral deficit necessary to drive the world to the edge of Armageddon in pursuit of power for its elites. And a former Polish Minister of Defence and current member of the European Parliament was quick to affix the blame or credit for the explosion. And there's a screenshot of a tweet from Radek Sikorski, MEP, just says, thank you, USA, over an image of the gas leak on the surface of the sea. And the article ends, stay tuned, Nord Stream could be the biggest story of our lifetime. So just a quick look at this evidence that the Biden regime threatened to take the Nord Stream pipelines offline. And this is a tweet from Cernovich, and it's in that Gateway Pundit article that I referenced, or that was referenced in the article I just read to you. The tweet says, incoming fact check, there is no evidence that the Biden regime shut down Nord Stream 2. And it's got, again, tweets from the State Department, Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, if Russia invades Ukraine one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. And it includes a screenshot, not the actual video that Victoria Nuland was actually making that statement. And again, another screenshot, this is from ABC News. President Biden, if Russia invades, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it. Reporter, but how will you do that exactly, since the project is in Germany's control? Biden, I promise you, we will be able to do that. So it's a bit like that statement that Biden made when he said, we have put together the most extensive and sophisticated voter fraud organization before the 2020 election. And of course, that's exactly what they did. So, you know, it's another case of actually telling us what they're going to do before they actually do it. Now, it's very interesting that Trump offers to step in and broker a peace deal. And this is Gateway Pundit reporting again. Trump offers to step in and mediate a peace deal between Russia, Ukraine and the US. This was published the 28th of September. Former President Donald Trump has offered to step in and mediate a peace deal between Russia, Ukraine and the US. His offer came shortly before he posted Joe Biden's previous statements about ending the Nord Stream pipeline and warned once again that he may be leading the nation right into World War III. Trump volunteered to head up a group to make peace in a post on Truth Social on Wednesday. And it was a tweet from Jack Posobiec breaking. President Trump has offered to step in and mediate a peace deal between Russia, Ukraine and the US. And it screenshots the Truth from Donald Trump. US leadership should remain cool, calm and dry on the sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines. This is a big event that should not entail a big solution, at least not yet. The Russia-Ukraine catastrophe should never have happened and would definitely not have happened if I were president. Do not make matters worse with the pipeline blow-up. Be strategic, be smart, brilliant. Get a negotiated deal done now. Both sides need and want it. The entire world is at stake. I will head up group? Shortly after posting his offer, Trump shared a video of Biden threatening Nord Stream in February. And there's a screenshot of a tweet from Syrian Girl. Biden admits US behind sabotage of Nord Stream 1 and 2. Biden, if Russia invades, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. Reporter, but how will you do that? It's in Germany's control. Biden, I promise you, we will be able to do that. And this was during a joint press conference with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz in February. Trump shared the clip on Wednesday, adding the comment, "Wow, what a statement. World War III, anyone?" Now, interestingly, on Friday, after all this Nord Stream news, Putin actually made a speech about the annexing of these eastern Ukraine regions. And there are several things that I'm going to cover on this. But just before I do, he made a statement in this speech relating to Nord Stream 2. And I'm only going to read one paragraph because it's a very long speech, but it's definitely worth going through it because, and I'm going to cover some of it because it's very much about all the things that are happening in the under the globalist agenda that we're seeing, and Putin basically calling it all out. But this particular paragraph reads, "But the Anglo-Saxons believe sanctions are no longer enough and now they have turned to subversion. It seems incredible, but it is a fact. By causing explosions on Nord Stream's international gas pipelines passing along the bottom of the Baltic Sea, they have actually embarked on the destruction of Europe's entire energy infrastructure. It is clear to everyone who stands to gain. Those who benefit are responsible, of course." And what he's saying is that the US wants to more or less take over Europe by destroying industrialization due to lack of energy. So he's really going for the kill. And there is a really good article by Gateway Pundit I'm going to share with you now. This is on the content of this speech and focusing on particular aspects. And then I'm going to read another article, and this is from Bioclandestine Substack, which is much more focused on what he says about bioweapons. So let's start with the Gateway Pundit article. "Putin charges West with Satanism, offers ceasefire in Ukraine. Zelensky refuses, vows to keep fighting." And this was actually published this morning. In his speech yesterday announcing the annexation of the Russian-speaking Donbass territories, Russian President Vladimir Putin charged the West with practicing Satanism and of imposing perversions on children. And he's absolutely right, of course. He called for a ceasefire in Ukraine and a return to the negotiating table. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky vowed to keep fighting until Putin is gone and filed for his country to join NATO quickly, putting the West on a head-on collision course with Moscow. Today we are signing agreements on the admission of the Donetsk People's Republic, the Luhansk People's Republic, the Zaporizhia region and the Kherson region to Russia, Putin stated, after referenda were held in the Russian-occupied territories in favour of joining Russia. Putin called the accession the inalienable right of the ethnic Russian population, enshrined in the first article of the UN Charter, which directly speaks of the principle of equal rights and self-determination of peoples. People in the Donbass had been subjected to genocide, shelling and blockade for 8 years since 2014, Putin charged. He called on the Kiev government to immediately cease fire and all hostilities. The war that it unleashed back in 2014 and returned to the negotiating table. He would not discuss the choice of the people in Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia and Kherson, Putin said. It has been made. Russia will not betray it. Putin accused Western elites of denying national sovereignty and international law. They brazenly divide the world into their vassals, into the so-called civilized countries, and into all the rest, who, according to the plan of today's Western racists, should add to the list of barbarians and savages. Putin called Russophobia, which is now spreading all over the world, no less than racism. He accused the United States of being the only country in the world to use nuclear weapons twice, destroying the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. By the way, they set a precedent. Washington is demanding more and more sanctions against Russia, and most European politicians meekly agree with this, Putin said. They clearly understand that the United States, pushing through the EU's complete renunciation of Russian energy carriers and other resources, is practically leading to the deindustrialization of Europe, to completely taking over the European market. They understand everything. These elites are European. They understand everything but prefer to serve the interests of others. This is no longer servility but a direct betrayal of their peoples. The current sanctions blitzkrieg is not enough for the Anglo-Saxons, Putin said, referring to the USA-UK alliance. They switched to sabotage, unbelievable but true, having organised explosions on the international gas pipelines of the Nord Stream, which run along the bottom of the Baltic Sea. They actually began to destroy the pan-European energy infrastructure. It is clear to everyone who benefits from this. Putin accused the dictatorship of the Western elites as being directed against all societies, including the peoples of the Western countries themselves. Modern Western wokeism seeks a complete denial of man, the overthrow of faith and traditional values, the suppression of freedom, acquiring the features of a reverse religion, which Putin called outright Satanism. Do we want to have here in our country, in Russia, parent number one, number two, number three, instead of mum and dad? Have they gone mad out there? Putin accused the West of perversions that lead to degradation being imposed on children in our schools from the primary grades, to be drummed into them that there are various supposed genders besides women and men, and to be offered a sex change operation. Do we want all this for our country and our children? For us, all this is unacceptable. We have a different future, our own future. Putin called a policy based on the exclusivity of anyone on the suppression of other cultures and peoples inherently criminal. The collapse of Western hegemony has begun, he said, calling it irreversible. After Putin's annexation of the four Russian-occupied territories, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky stated that Ukraine is a de facto part of the NATO alliance and would apply for fast-track accession to full NATO member, Jack Posobiec wrote on Telegram. Zelensky turned down the Russian offer of a ceasefire and negotiations and announced Kiev will hold no negotiations with Russia while Putin is president, Posobiec wrote. Today, Ukraine is applying to make it de jure. We are taking our decisive step by signing Ukraine's application for accelerated accession to NATO, Zelensky said. Many young members of the Biden admin are fully supporting Ukraine joining NATO immediately, according to Posobiec. There are many others who are 100% against it due to the series of events that would follow, per White House staffer. Entire West Wing is scrambling, totally out of whack. NATO stuff came out of left field, apparently. If NATO were to accept Ukraine as a member and fighting continues over Russian annexed Donbass, NATO would be at war with Russia. Both sides accused each other of threatening a nuclear first strike this week. So that's one side of the story in terms of Putin's speech. Now to BioClandestine's Substack story. Putin's speech analysis, bioweapons and human experimentation in Ukraine. For those who have not read Putin's transcript from his speech today, September 30th, 2022, I highly recommend you do so. You simply cannot trust any media outlet to give you an accurate or sufficient summary. You must read it for yourself in its entirety. And it links to the actual speech transcript, and I will share that link in the description information. Now that you've read the speech, I'm going to give my takeaways and address which passages stuck out to me. The overall message of the speech is Russia have reclaimed land which belonged to them only a few short decades ago, followed by an absolute lambasting of the US NATO, a declaration of war on Western elites, the deep state, and the liberal globalist ideology as a whole. Putin spent a significant majority of his speech highlighting the hypocrisy of Western society and the plague it has brought upon the world. Now, you all know my field of expertise revolves around the biolabs in Ukraine. Interesting nugget from Putin thrown in this speech, his first public acknowledgement of bioweapons and human experimentation in Ukraine and elsewhere. In the past, he has allowed UN diplomats and the Ministries of Defense and Foreign Affairs to address this situation until today. They call the orders and threats they make to their vassals Euro-Atlantic solidarity, and the creation of biological weapons and the use of human test subjects, including in Ukraine, novel medical research, Putin said. It might not seem like much, but what Putin just asserted will be the two most consequential international crimes known to man. Putin just publicly accused the West of infringing the International Biological Weapons Treaty as well as the Nuremberg Code. In case anyone needs a reminder for what the punishment for those crimes are, and there's an image of people on the gallows after the Nuremberg trials. As for the rest of the speech, Putin makes a plethora of legitimate points, many of which sound very similar to Trump's narratives and talking points. Such self-confidence is a direct product not only of the notorious concept of exceptionalism, although it never ceases to amaze, but also of the real information hunger in the West. The truth has been drowned in an ocean of myths, illusions and fakes, using extremely aggressive propaganda, lying like Goebbels. The more unbelievable the lie, the quicker people will believe it. That is how they operate, according to this principle. Putin accurately describes the current landscape of Western media. The overwhelming majority of the public are information hungry because they are being deprived of the truth, comparing the West censorship and propaganda to that of Nazi Germany, Goebbels. Western societies have been saying for centuries that they bring freedom and democracy to other nations. Nothing could be further from the truth. Instead of bringing democracy, they suppressed and exploited, and instead of giving freedom, they enslaved and oppressed. The unipolar world is inherently anti-democratic and unfree. It is false and hypocritical through and through, Putin said. Here, Putin continues to address realities that the West ignore. The liberal globalists preach freedom and democracy, yet they do not practice what they preach. In fact, they do the opposite. The Western elites are engaged in lies and deception on a global scale, using their power as a veil to hide their horrific crimes. And Putin goes on, that is why politicians in Europe have to convince their fellow citizens to eat less, take a shower less often, and dress warmer at home. And those who start asking fair questions like, why is that in fact, are immediately declared enemies, extremists, and radicals. They point back at Russia and say, that is the source of all your troubles. More lies. This sounds very similar to Trump speaking at a rally. The deep state simply blame their enemies, in this case Trump and Putin, for all of the problems that they themselves created. The playbook is about worn out. Your liberal co-worker might still believe it, but the collective world are not buying it anymore. And then he includes the extract from the speech that I'd read from the other article talking about the pushing of transgenderism. Sounds like a pretty reasonable and sane stance, this is clandestine, pertaining to family and children. Similar to Trump, rejecting the preposterous and outright insane ideology pushed by the liberal globalists. Putin doesn't want the Russian children subject to the psychological perversion that exists here in the West, and I can assure you 90% plus of parents worldwide agree with Putin here. Don't mutilate, psychologically manipulate and or dehumanise our children seems like a pretty reasonable request, but the left-wing media tells you that they are the sane ones and Putin is the madman. And Putin goes on, let me repeat that the dictatorship of the Western elites targets all societies, including the citizens of Western countries themselves. This is a challenge to all. This complete renunciation of what it means to be human, the overthrow of faith and traditional values, and the suppression of freedom are coming to resemble a religion in reverse, pure Satanism. Exposing false messiahs, Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, by their fruits ye shall know them. These poisonous fruits are already obvious to people, and not only in our country, but also in all countries, including many people in the West itself. This passage might be the most intriguing of all. Putin addresses that the victims of the Western elites include their own citizens, highlighting that the deep state have an agenda to dehumanize every society and dismantle all traditional values, calling the Western elites pure Satanism. Here, I believe Putin is speaking to us Western citizens, letting us know that he knows Russia's quarrels are not with the US or West's people, but with the elite few who run this global crime syndicate. Does this sound like a deranged, warmongering madman to you? Now, if you read any media outlet, they won't include anything about the bioweapons passage. Some of them are touching on the Satanism with hopes that it makes Putin appear crazy to better fuel their narrative. The Western citizens are being fed select lines from the speech in an attempt to paint Putin in a bad light and to deter people from reading the full transcript. Otherwise, people might read it for themselves and come to the conclusion that Putin is not a madman and is giving mankind a seriously convincing and sane argument. Sounds exactly like Trump. In conclusion, this speech tells me Trump and Putin are on the same wavelength, and we cannot ignore that much of Putin's speech revolved around many Q-related narratives to include Satanism, the Western elite or deep state, Western propaganda and Orwellian dystopia, perversion of the young, and dehumanization of all traditional values and society. The foundation of this speech sounds similar to the main talking points at a Trump rally. We almost must take careful note of Putin and Trump never directing any hostility or negative words towards each other. All throughout this process, both Putin and Trump have remained consistent that the deep state are to blame, never once speaking poorly of one another. As for where this road leads, I believe we are in a controlled psychological military operation, and both Trump and Putin are in on it. The world will be pushed to what appears to be the brink of nuclear destruction. A Cuban Missile Crisis-like event will occur. We will come out unscathed, and Trump and Putin will resolve the issue in some capacity, which will result in global support and thus a global denouncing of the deep state and Western elite, followed by the appropriate punishment for those responsible. The other option is that this is not a controlled op, and we are actually on the brink of nuclear destruction, in which case we are screwed anyways. As for how this unfolds, I cannot tell you. Just know that things are only going to get crazier, but the crazier shit gets, the closer we get to the finish line. And I absolutely agree with the first assumption that we're in a controlled psychological military operation. Most of the patriots have not fallen for this support Ukraine nonsense. And, you know, even before I read these articles, I was thinking, is Trump working with Putin so that they can broker a peace deal and completely discredit the Biden administration and Biden himself? I do believe that that is the case. I've always said, you know, Putin is a good guy. He is not easily provoked and responds very consciously to all the provocation from the West, from the deep state. So it'd be interesting to see what the next chess moves are in this, as the previous article said, 84D chess game. Now I'm going to move on to this vaccine narrative falling apart. And the main thing I want to focus on is this doctor from the UK who's written a report about the vaccine and, you know, how it is definitely not safe and effective. And Steve Kirsch on Substack reported on this. Top doctor who once promoted COVID vaccines on TV now says they should be halted. Dr. Asim Malhotra, a prominent British cardiologist, called it the greatest miscarriage of medical science that we will see in our lifetime. And this was published September 27th. Executive summary, a highly respected cardiologist and expert in evidence-based medicine was prompted to take a critical look at the vaccine data after the unexpected death of his father, 6 months after vaccination. He spent 6 months carefully studying the data and consulting with other top scientists. He's now calling for a halt to the vaccines based on the data. He called it the greatest miscarriage of medical science that we will see in our lifetime. Introduction. Check out this story in the Epoch Times about Dr. Asim Malhotra and the 547 comments. And it shows the Epoch Times article, Doctor Turns Against Messenger RNA COVID-19 Vaccines, Calls for Global Pause. Here's the short story. Dr. Asim Malhotra is a well-known, highly respected British cardiologist and evidence-based medicine expert. He promoted the COVID vaccines on British TV, even appearing on Good Morning Britain to advise Indian film director Gurinder Chadha to get the shot. He started doing research on the vaccine after the suspicious death of his father, who died after getting the vaccine, and found the connection. Two of his father's major arteries were severely blocked, even though Malhotra described his father as a fit person who did not have any significant heart problems. His father died 6 months after getting dose two of the Pfizer vaccine. This is totally consistent with the 5-month average delay time for massive clots appearing after getting the COVID vaccines. This is what the embalmers found as well. The large clots only started appearing in mid-2021. Asim spent 6 months looking at data critically, including talking with other top scientists. He slowly and reluctantly came to the conclusion he was wrong about the safety and efficacy of the COVID vaccines. His journey was documented in his first paper. He mentions he teaches evidence-based medicine and follows all the principles. In January 2022, he started writing up what he found. On September 26, 2022, the two papers he wrote calling for a halt to the COVID vaccines were published in a peer-reviewed medical journal. He told the Epoch Times, "There is more than enough evidence. I would say the evidence is overwhelming to pause the rollout of the vaccine. Nobody has attacked any of the facts he used as a basis for the conclusion in his paper. He has no conflicts of interest that would cause him to switch sides. They can't attack him on his motivation or his facts. The paper was peer-reviewed for 3 months. At the press conference, to announce his papers and change of heart, only GB News attended. This was the same news organisation that was the only major news organisation to cover the Israeli safety data cover-up." Selected excerpts from the Epoch Times article. A doctor who promoted COVID-19 vaccines is now calling for health authorities around the world to pause administration of two of the most widely utilized COVID-19 vaccines, asserting that the benefits from the vaccines may not outweigh the risks. A paper from Malhotra was published on September 26 detailing the evidence. Dr. Malhotra notified me of the press release and paper on Saturday, but I've been a bit backed up. Here are links to the two papers he wrote that are now published in a peer-reviewed medical journal. Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines Through Real Evidence-Based Medicine, Part 1 and Part 2. These papers, both published on September the 26th, 2022, talk about how we got it wrong, why we got it wrong, and solutions. I would just like to add that many of us didn't get it wrong and that we knew from the start that these were kill shots. So, you know, there have been many comments saying he was a cardiologist and, you know, a top medical professional. And he fell for it, even getting the vaccines. But obviously, he's now had very much a change of heart. The papers start by stating vaccines are safe, which I would disagree with. And this is Steve Kirsch speaking. And that Dr. Malhotra was one of the first people to get vaccinated with Pfizer when the vaccines became available. He writes, "The main reason I took the jab was to prevent transmission of the virus to my vulnerable patients. So he was totally blue-pilled when he got injected." The papers conclude there is a strong scientific, ethical, and moral case to be made that the current COVID vaccine administration must stop until all the raw data has been subjected to fully independent scrutiny. Looking to the future, the medical and public health professions must recognize these failings and eschew the tainted dollar of the medical industrial complex. It will take a lot of time and effort to rebuild trust in these institutions, but the health of both humanity and the medical profession depends on it. And it cannot be said that the consent to receive these agents was fully informed, as is required ethically and legally. A pause and reappraisal of global vaccination policies for COVID-19 is long overdue. The press conference announcing the story. Only GB News attended. It was ignored by all the world's mainstream press. Read this excellent write-up by Dr. Tess Laurie, who was very disappointed that there was no coverage of this important paper by a former vaccine advocate. And it's got a screenshot of this article from Dr. Tess Laurie. What our press conference with Dr. Asim Malhotra tells us about the Fourth Estate. His U-turn on COVID vaccine safety could save countless lives if only mainstream media would give his message the airtime it deserves. And it goes, "I have just come out of a press conference hosted by World Council for Health for Dr. Malhotra to share an important message, one that I dearly hoped would find its way into mainstream media channels. Many British viewers will know Dr. Malhotra from his appearances on the TV show Good Morning Britain. He is a well-known, highly respected consultant cardiologist who actively promoted COVID-19 vaccination until the sudden and tragic death of his father from suspected vaccine-induced cardiac arrest led him to uncover the truth about these toxic injections. The presentation at the press conference. And there's a link to the presentation he gave, excerpts followed by the entire presentation. Just spend a few minutes watching the excerpts. It will convince you to watch the entire presentation. And he adds another link to the presentation as well. And it's 2 hours, 44 minutes long. The backstory. Here are a few things you might find interesting. I asked how many journals refused to publish his papers. The surprising answer is zero. He simply submitted the papers to one of the very few medical journals with no ties to Big Pharma and no advertising and would take a paper of 10,000 words. It was split into two articles because the journal has a size limit for a single article. He started working on the paper 9 months ago after a three-month double-blind peer review, the papers were accepted. The reaction. Leading scientists say the new paper is important, from the Epoch Times article. His peers mostly reacted with support, some privately. He wrote to me, no overt criticism. After the new paper was published, critics noted that Malhotra is a board member of the Journal of Insulin Resistance. This makes sense. If you can't argue the fact, attack the person. He is a member of the board, but there are strict rules about how such papers are handled by journals. Dr. Campbell Murdoch, who advises the Royal College of General Practitioners, said that the study describes multiple systemic failures in the provision of safe and effective evidence-based medicine, and that the situation has made it impossible for patients and the public to make an informed choice about what is best for their health and life. Some others criticised the paper, including Dr. Victoria Mayle, an immunologist at Imperial College London. Mail wrote on Twitter that Table 2 in Part 1, which outlines the number of people in each age group estimated to need a vaccination to prevent a COVID-19 death, is quite in favour of vaccination. But the problem is that the estimate is based on the UK government data which miscategorised deaths. The actual Pfizer Phase 3 trial, where the vaccine was a closer match to the variant circulating, was that the drug may have saved one life per 22,000 people vaccinated, and the paper itself warns that the estimates in Table 2 are likely to be inaccurate. The British Society of Immunology said in response to the paper, the safety and effectiveness assessments of all medicines and vaccines should be based on robust analysis of the evidence. This is the gold standard of healthcare research and is the high-quality analysis the public deserves to allow them to make evidence-based decisions about their health. Unfortunately, this paper does not thoroughly analyse all the available evidence and contains many narrative reflections. While individual case studies may be emotive, to understand the full picture, we must undertake robust evaluation examining the response from large numbers of people to be accurately able to assess the benefits and risks of any medical intervention. The Pfizer and Moderna mRNA COVID-19 vaccines have been available for almost 2 years, and many millions of doses have been given to people in the UK and around the world. Both in the initial clinical trials and throughout this rollout period, many researchers and health agencies have been carefully analysing the ongoing effectiveness and safety of COVID vaccines. Oh, really? Let's take the Israeli government, for example. They didn't monitor for safety for a year. And after they did, they hid the safety results. See the Israeli safety data cover-up, which the British Society of Immunology conveniently ignores, despite calling for looking at all the available evidence. How do they explain these results? Or take our own CDC, who can't get their story straight as to whether they were analysing the VAERS data or not. They've switched their stories so many times I can't keep track of it. Pfizer's own Phase 3 trial showed more people died in the vaccine group than the placebo group. Should we ignore that? Where are the post-market studies comparing all-cause mortality and morbidity? Wayne Root did his own personal study of this, since nobody else did, and what he found was inexplicable if the vaccines are safe. Shouldn't we include that anecdotal evidence? How can anyone explain that? I did my own with statistics from 600 people, and they matched what Wayne found. The vaccines are unsafe. Or how about the polls I did, or the huge diversity of evidence summarised in this article? Should we ignore all of that evidence, which is all counter-narrative? Should we ignore the fact that nobody in the medical community was curious enough to want to see the Israeli safety data? Dr. Paul Offit didn't want to see it. CDC outside committee chair Grace Lee didn't want to see it. But Professor Martin Koldorf wanted to see it, and he's not even on the CDC and FDA committees anymore. The British Society needs to explain why scientists do not want to see any data that goes against their belief system. Is that how science works nowadays? Are they proud of that? As of September 28th, the story was covered by the Times of India, but no other mainstream press. The interviews. No mainstream media coverage yet for some reason. I wonder why. Mark Stain interview, 16 minutes, August 16th, 2022. Asim relates that the authorities were shocked to learn what he had found, which they should have known. Dan Wootton interview, 9 minutes, September 26, 2022. The best part was at the end, where Pfizer refused to comment and the MHRA said in response the narrative that vaccines are the best way to protect people from COVID-19. They refused to address anything in the papers. Dr. Asim Malhotra's new peer-reviewed paper calls for a complete suspension of the COVID jab. And the autopsy report, and that's a link, by the way, the autopsy report on Asim's father's death. In my opinion, death was due to coronary artery atheroma. Summary. Dr. Asim Malhotra is a hero. When he learned he was wrong, he did the right thing, publicly admitted his mistake, and called for the halt to the vaccines. He was publicly advocating for the vaccines, and he himself is double jabbed with the COVID vaccines. When a personal event made him question what he had been told, he spent 6 months looking at the data and publicly admitted he was wrong. He did this at considerable risk to his reputation. He's the type of doctor that the authorities in the medical community should be listening to. Instead, they are trying to silence and discredit him and his work. They should be ashamed of their actions. History will not be kind to them. The truth will eventually come out. Those who stonewall the inevitable will suffer the consequences. And just to back up this conclusion by this doctor, I'm going to read a couple of headlines from other articles. These two are from the expose. Unforgivable, at least 163 children dead, 1,200 disabled, 15,000 hospitalised and 58,000 injured due to COVID-19 vaccination in the USA, according to the CDC. And that's just the children. And then another one by Exposé. Experts estimate 20 million are already dead due to COVID vaccination and over 2 billion injured. I mean, it is just shocking. And then Dr. McCullough has actually written an article, fifth COVID shot recommended without safety or efficacy data. It's true. According to a recent risk-benefit analysis, it will cause 18 to 98 serious adverse events for each hospitalisation it prevents. Yet Biden just ordered 171 million doses based on a study of 8 mice. Thing is, I don't think people are going to take any more. You know, they're seeing the effects that it's having on people, the deaths, serious adverse events, and the take-up of this latest booster is, you know, way, way down compared with earlier shots. So I'm happy to report that I believe that people are waking up to this and are just not going to take any more of these shots. Just hope that it's not too late for those who have already taken them. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. There's no end to the information that is coming out really now about the deep state, and also how I think we are in the storm with this face-off between Russia and the deep state. But I do believe that it's all going to end well. I don't think the threat of a nuclear war is going to happen, and look forward to all these deep state players being taken out. So just a reminder, if you want to find out more about me, go to thesuccessalchemist.net. I'd like to thank Nancy for producing, and also Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. Visit his website at mysticalwares.com. So until next time, be well, stay safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.